You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Ata Maria e te whānau e whakarongo ana koutou ki te reo irirangi pōho. You're on 95 BFM Breakfast. Morena, my name's Rachel, and we have got National MP Nicola Willis. Hello, how are you, Nicola?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's been a big old couple of weeks for National. We're going to chat a little bit about the new leadership. Also going to talk to you a bit about armed police in New Zealand and have a bit of a discussion around level one. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Well, it has fantastic. It has been a bit of a rocky week for the National Party's new leadership under Todd Muller and also Nikki Kay as deputy. What can we actually expect will be the policy focus of the National Party under the new leadership that we've seen?
Our policy focus is absolutely on New Zealand's economic recovery after COVID-19, and particularly on jobs. We're really concerned about predictions that unemployment could get as high as 18-20%. So, one out of five New Zealanders unable to get work. So we're focused on the policies that will support businesses and support our communities to keep people employed and keep people in jobs.
So are you pleased to see some of the things that the government's rolling out with, re-education and trade training? Are these things that the National Party would be similarly looking to do if you were in a position of power right now?
Broadly, we think that makes sense. At a time when people have fewer employment opportunities and there are people who are losing jobs, we do want to make sure that they have retraining opportunities. National's always been a big supporter of skills training. And one of the things that we particularly support is people being able to do that in a work-relevant context. So being able to do that in the workplace as an apprentice is a really great way to learn. We've had concerns about the government's complete restructuring and overhaul of the way that the training and skills system works. And we know that employers and training institutions have had those concerns too. So we are a bit worried about how this will be implemented in the midst of all of that change. And so we'll be looking very carefully at their policy proposals to make sure that they work in practice.
You've had a rapid rise in the ranks for the National Party. You've moved from 45th to 14th on the shadow cabinet, and you've added housing and development to your shadow portfolios, Nicola, alongside early childhood education. What is your vision for housing and urban development in New Zealand?
Well, I think all of us want housing to be more affordable for New Zealanders, and we want to keep that aspiration of home ownership alive so that more of us can imagine being on that ladder to owning our own home. But we also want to ensure that the very large number of us who rent are able to do so in affordable, healthy homes. And the thing that's held those two goals back for some time now that has led to increasing unaffordability of housing is a lack of housing supply. We just haven't seen enough houses being built to keep up with the demand for new housing. And so I want to get to the nub of that issue. Labor promised to build thousands of houses. Their Kiwi Build proposal was that 10,000 houses would be built in their first term, 5,000 by next month, in fact. They've only built 395. So that policy has failed. The task for National is to look at what actually will get more houses built across the community, and we have really focused on getting rid of the planning laws and barriers and other things that are in the way of new housing development. So my vision is that we get to a point where we're increasing housing supply and getting on top of these affordability issues.
In terms of urban development, we've seen quite a bit of discussion post-COVID of how our cities can be a bit more pedestrian-friendly, how they can be more eco-friendly as well. These seem to be things that the public are quite interested in seeing. Is this something you'd be interested in pursuing if you had the opportunity in that role?
I think it's really important that we do think about how our cities evolve over time to meet the needs of citizens. And the needs of citizens are changing. You know, a decade ago, we didn't have electric cars. We do now. We've got electric buses. Things are changing, and technology changes the way that cities run and are organised. Local authorities, of course, have a really important role here. There's a reason that we elect local councils and local community boards, because those people have a real sense of what makes sense from one community to another. And so I don't think that it's appropriate for central government to have blanket rules here, because it depends on city to city. But the other thing I'd say, Rachel, is I'm really keen to see a few more people on our streets here in Wellington, where I'm based. We've still got a lot of people working from home, and while I respect that, I also want to see people back in the city, spending at our local shops, in our local businesses, because ultimately that's where jobs in our community come from, and having a busy city is no bad thing.
Let's talk a little bit about the armed police trials in New Zealand, because this has been sort of top of the news cycle in the last couple of days. Chester Burrows, who's a former National Party MP, and he's also the head of the government's Safe and Effective Justice Advisory Group at the moment, he actually spoke to BFM yesterday criticising the armed police trial for its ineffective consultation with Māori and also its use in minor call-outs over the trial period. What is the National Party's current position on armed police trials?
Look, well, our starting position is that we don't support the general arming of the police. It is something I think that New Zealanders value about our police, that they're not routinely armed like they are in some other countries, and that's something that we'd like to see preserved if at all possible. The decision to do the trials of armed police was one made by the police commissioner. That's a power that the police commissioner has. Discretion to make that decision. It's not a decision for government or opposition. It's very much a police operational matter. And that decision was made in response to what was perceived increased public safety and community threat. But what we want to see now is that that trial is being assessed. And of course, we want the police to be looking at the evidence of whether or not it actually made a difference. But really importantly, also assessing the community feedback on that trial. And as you point out, that needs to be community feedback from across the different groups and perspectives in our community. I myself have had quite a bit of correspondence on this matter, and I'm encouraging people with strong views on the trial to make those views known to the police, who have said that they will be taking community feedback into account as they decide whether to take the trial any further in the future.
This has, that question of if it's an operational matter for police or not has actually come up quite a lot recently. Do you think there's a point at which it goes beyond an operational matter and becomes a bit more of a national conversation? As you were saying, it's a point of pride people tend to have in New Zealand that we don't have armed police. Do you think there is a point at which it can go beyond an operational matter, Nicola?
Well, I think we are having a national conversation about it, and I think the police will be conscious of that. However, I do think there's value in protecting that principle around the independence of our police and the operational decisions they make. And the reason that's important is we don't want to be in a situation where we have government dictating who and why and under what circumstances police make arrests. We need them to have that discretion, and equally we want them to have discretion about the best way to police. So there is a line there and a fine balance, but look, we're having the community conversation, and I would expect to see police taking on board the clear feedback from across the community.
I did just want to touch base on something that Todd Muller, of course the new leader of the National Party, has said in the last couple of days. He said he was interested in the effect that these trials would have on hardened criminals. Who does he mean when he says this, especially, I guess, given that we've seen little indication that the groups who have been experiencing the trials have actually, you know, been hardened criminals by any means? What does he mean by that?
Well, my understanding is that the decision to do the armed police trials was in response to growing concerns about public safety, and in particular an increase in gang-style violence and assaults that had been occurring, reports of innocent people gunned down on their doorstep, on their homes, execution of gang members and associates. Now, that kind of criminal activity is not something that any New Zealanders support, and the kind of hardened criminals who are undertaking that activity, of course, the police wish to protect other New Zealanders from. And I imagine that's what Todd Muller was referencing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Level 1, because that's been another thing we've seen discussed a lot. In the weekend, we saw large crowds turning out to protest the death of George Floyd, a black American man killed by police in America, in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement, and also drawing links with our own armed police trials here in New Zealand. It's added to the debate about whether we should be moving to Level 1 from people like Winston Peters, who have been talking loudly about that. What is the National Party's current position on moving to Level 1?
Well, we think, based on the criteria that the Prime Minister has set out, there's no reason we shouldn't be at Level 1 now. The Prime Minister's been clear that the decision on whether or not to be in Level 1 depends on the rate of community transition, whether there are new active cases, how many cases there are, the economic impacts, and a number of other factors. And right now, as you know, we haven't had a new case in more than 10 days. There's only one active case in the country, Dr. Bloomfield said yesterday that he wasn't concerned about community transmission having occurred at the protests. So that, combined with the Deputy Prime Minister being out there saying, look, we should be moving out of level one, it's hard for us to see why we shouldn't move out of level one now. The risk, of course, in staying in level two with all of this confusion is that we actually lose that solidarity we've had, that people are buying into these alert levels, buying into the restrictions and putting them in place across the community. That's been one of the successes that we've had, and we don't want to see that eroded. And actually, we can see real economic pain in our communities. You know, for the bar or restaurant that can't have people attending in the normal way, that's having to have all sorts of restrictions, that's having a huge and negative impact. And actually, it's resulting in people losing their jobs. So we're very concerned about that. This isn't a costless decision. And we would like to see us moving to level one.
Normality is quite an interesting part of this conversation. And this is the last thing I'll ask you, Nicola. But what would your party actually like level one to look like? Because we've seen a lot of discussion about when do we actually hit normal in New Zealand. And level one isn't necessarily going to be back to what we used to pre-COVID. What would you actually like level one to look like?
Well, you're right. It's not going to be the same as pre-COVID. The key difference is going to be we're still going to have those closed borders. We're not going to have people coming and going. You know, we're still not going to have tourism. We're not going to have people coming in from overseas, because that's where the biggest threat lies. And that's a huge difference for New Zealand, which has always been a country where visitors come and go frequently. I think the other thing is we're all going to be more vigilant, aren't we? We've all become very conscious of infection risk, of the need for hygiene, of the risks of being physically close to people. And I think those behavioural changes will flow through into normal life, and that we will see people in their workplaces and in their social lives just being a bit more vigilant about protecting each other from infection. And, of course, over time, we'll expect that if there are any heightened risks of COVID-19, there's always that expectation that we could move up a level again. And I think that will change people's attitudes quite a bit.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Nicola Willis. We really appreciate it. We'll speak to you again in the future. Thank you again.
Hey, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Cheers. You too.
Bye.
That was Nicola Willis from the National Party speaking to us this morning.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.